What happens if a believer doesn't have a local church, but he still gives to missions and ministries? That's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. You've tuned in at a good time because we are doing another one of our favorite types of series, Question and Answer. You send questions in and we do our best to answer. You can send questions at GES@faithalone.org. That's GES@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's session with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're going to do some Q&A, Bob. Are you ready for that?
Oh, let's give it a try. What is Q&A?
Q&A is questions and answers.
Oh.
Your questions, our answers. Send them to GES@faithalone.org. We love doing this because it makes us think, and we love being able to give these answers to you guys, because guess what? When you go to church, or if you're in a Bible study that's led by lay people, you don't always get a chance to ask these questions. So here's a question from Craig, and Craig says, what happens if a believer is not in the local church and still gives to a free grace ministry? Will he be rewarded for it? Or what happens if he's out of fellowship with God? I guess the implied question is, if you're out of fellowship, do you still get rewarded for the things that you do?
Okay, let's make those two separate questions.
Well, first of all, why is it important to be in a local church? We've spoken about this before.
Right. The normal Christian life is intended to be lived in community, in a local church. When you're in this local assembly, the spiritual gifts of the whole body work together to cause the growth of everyone in the group.
Right.
So some of the people have the gift of teaching and they're teaching the rest. Some have the gift of helps, or they have the gift of exhortation or whatever.
Right.
And as the gifts are being used together in the church, it helps us grow.
But there's something else, though, if I may.
Yeah.
It, being a part of a local church is part of confessing the Lord openly.
It is. That's part of, you know, Hodges in his discussion of Romans 10, 9 through 13, points out that calling on the Lord and confessing the Lord is also corporate. And that's part of the local church now, or during the tribulation, it'll be part of believing Israel or believing Gentiles from the nations. Yes, so that's corporate. If a person is not part of a local assembly, a local church, then they're missing out on that. Now, we get emails and phone calls from people all the time who say, I live in this remote area that only has churches that are holding to Lordship salvation or work salvation or whatever. We recommend to them, well, why not find one that's an hour or even 2 hour drive?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's 2 hours each way, it'd be worth it.
Just go once a month if you can.
Yeah, if that's all you can do. But even if it's 4 hours a day, you could do that once a week.
Right.
But the thing is, we've encouraged people to move. Consider moving. I was talking to the pastor. I was in Las Vegas, and he's had a number of people who've moved there to be able to go to his church.
Sure.
So that's an option. But if you don't have any of that, then my suggestion is have a local church in your home. Even if it's just you and your wife,
mm-hmm.
if you're meeting together in the name of the Lord, you're having a time of prayer, a time of studying the Word, you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, either weekly or monthly or whatever.
And you don't need a special ordination to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper.
No.
But now back to the question. If someone's not in that church, and presumably they're not confessing the Lord in that way, and they're not exercising their gifts in that way, and they're not being blessed by others, can they still lead a life that's rewardable?
And my answer would be yes, but that's not what the New Testament expects.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me, putting everything together, if you're giving money toward the Lord's work, let's use that example of giving money.
Yeah.
And you're doing it toward the Lord's work. So you're not giving to your local church because you don't have a local church. Well, maybe you're giving to another local church.
Right.
You know, if some free grace church you really believe in, you're sending to them. You're giving for missionaries. You're giving to other things. If your motivation is right in doing that giving, yes, it's rewardable.
But to flip that over, maybe you imagine someone who's, there is a free grace church nearby, and they purposely, they don't want anything to do with it. They just, maybe they don't want people, or they don't like the church, or they feel guilty about something, and so they're avoiding going to church on purpose when they could.
Right. That would be a cause of rebuke at the judgment seat of Christ.
Uh-huh.
But it seems to me when Jesus says, don't lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but lay up treasure in heaven where moth and rust can't destroy and thieves can't break in or steal. Mm-hmm. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew 6:19-21. It seems to me there he's giving a principle that is not absolutely requiring local church attendance.
Okay, interesting. All right. So hopefully that answers Craig's question. All right, the second question is about, you know how people have testimonies?
Right.
People give testimonies about when they were born again. I'm pretty sure I know the night I was born again. It was my prom night in 1995. I'm pretty sure that's when it happened. But not everyone knows the day and the hour.
Right. Right.
And there's often a lot of pressure in churches to know the day or the hour. Right. Here's a question from Doug. He says, first question is, what if an individual who is believing in Jesus Christ alone and knows they have eternal life, and he means now,
right,
cannot recall a specific time and place when they placed their faith in Christ? My wife is an example of one who grew up in a Christian home and cannot pinpoint a specific salvation experience. How should such an individual respond when pressed for their salvation experience?
My answer would be that there's nothing in the New Testament that tells us we need to keep track of what day of the week we were born again, what day of the month, what year. We have a song at our church where we sing, "It was on a Sunday, somebody touched me, it must have been the hand of the Lord," and you stand up if you were born again on Sunday.
Okay.
"It was on a Monday,"
yeah,
and you stand up. "It was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday."
Yeah.
After we go through 7 days, then our seventh chorus is, "It was on a one day, somebody touched me."
Uh-huh.
And I stand up on that verse,
okay,
as well as about five or six other people.
Right.
And the reason I do is I was from an extreme lordship salvation background.
Mm-hmm.
And I had invited Jesus into my heart many times, and I'd had some feelings, and I thought maybe that's when I was born again.
Right.
My senior year in college, I was having lots of doubts about my salvation, and I went to a Campus Crusade staff member, and we met five times. And he was helping me with assurance. Now, he thought I was born again, just lacking assurance. So
mm-hmm.
he kept hitting Ephesians 2:8-9.
Right.
"For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not
right.
of works, lest anyone should boast." And I kept having objections. And
right.
I would ask about Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10 or James 2 or whatever. And each time he'd come back and quote Ephesians 2:8-9 again. So the first hour we met was like 10 times he quoted it.
Right.
This happened five times. He must have quoted it 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of these five sessions, I came to faith.
Right.
Well, I know it was a weekday, but I don't know. Was it a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
sure.
Thursday, Friday? I don't know.
But you do remember that it was a day.
Yeah.
And not everyone would remember that.
I do remember that it was
when
a
it
day.
Happened. When it
and
happened.
And I'm not even sure it was the fifth, but I'm pretty sure it was the fifth of these meetings, and I came to faith.
Right.
Up until that point, I would have said I was born again when I had this feeling when I invited Jesus in.
Right.
And I ended up changing my testimony to say it was then. But at the very time it happened, I thought I was gaining assurance.
Yeah.
And I didn't think this is when I was born again.
Yeah.
It was a couple months later that I realized when you get assurance is when you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
When you have believed in Jesus for the salvation he gives, that's when you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
So my answer would be, yeah, I wouldn't have any problem with that. If someone says, "When were you born again?" Well, if you don't remember the exact time, like someone growing up in a Christian home, you'd say, "Well, it was at some point when I was a child.
Right.
I believed in Jesus for my salvation, but I don't know the exact day or
right.
even month. Maybe I don't even know the year."
And there's no biblical litmus test. Paul didn't go around asking, "Did you receive this or that?" But they kind of did. He asked about the Holy Spirit at some point. He's like, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?"
Well, when you believe. But he
yeah.
didn't say, "What day did you believe?"
Right, right.
"What
right.
month did you believe? What year?" He just said, "Did you receive the Holy
right.
Spirit?"
It seems like what's important is, what do you believe now? Like Jesus asking Martha, "Do you believe this?" in John 11:25-27. That isn't to say she didn't believe it before.
Of course she did.
You know, she probably already believed in him for eternal life before.
Right. He doesn't say, "When did you first believe this?"
Right.
He says, "Do you believe this?"
So what matters is, can you say right now, "Do you believe in Jesus for eternal life?" Don't, I mean, our memories are fickle. I don't know about you, Bob. My memory is not good. And I might remember things that didn't quite happen the way I remember it. What matters is, you might be totally wrong on the day that you were born again.
Right.
Only God knows. What matters is, can you confess right now that you believe in Jesus for eternal life and that you know you have eternal life? That's really what matters.
All right. I've got a pet peeve here, Sean. Let me throw this out. Whenever I talk to people about their testimony, I'm often alarmed by the fact that the testimony they give is a work salvation testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will say something like, I was living a really bad life. I was sleeping around. I was getting drunk all the time. I was cheating on my tests in college. I was just a bad person. Then I invited Jesus into my life and committed my life to him and promised to serve him. And then I became a good person, and I stopped sleeping around, I stopped getting drunk, I stopped cheating, and praise be to God, he made me a good person, and I've been a good person ever since, and I'm a good person now.
I put out that last cigarette, and I knew I was born again.
That's right. They give some kind of testimony like that. I hear that, and I go, that's a work salvation testimony. That's, you got to commit, you got to follow, you got to do this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to hear from the person is, when did you believe in Jesus for your salvation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear about my life before I came to Christ was like this. Here is how I came to Christ, and here's my life after I came to Christ. Because that puts the emphasis on my life.
Right.
The emphasis should be on Christ.
Right.
Before I believed that I was good enough to go to heaven on my own, or before I was scared I was going to hell.
Right.
And then I believed in Jesus, and I knew I was secure once and for all. And the verse that really the Lord used for me was John 3:16,
right.
And you quoted, or Ephesians 2:8-9. My encouragement to every one of you listening today is when you share your testimony, make sure it's a faith alone message. Because if you're giving an indistinct message, then you're confusing the person hearing your testimony. And if you can't remember when you first believed that, then just tell them that. Just be honest and say, but today I know for sure that I have everlasting life, and it's simply by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me. My sins are not the issue. The issue is I was dead. I needed life. I believed in him, and he guaranteed it.
Well, thanks, Bob. If you have any questions, and I'm sure you're going to have more questions based on what we just said, send them to GES@faithalone.org, and we'd love to answer them in a future episode. Well, stay tuned, and we're going to answer some more questions tomorrow.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion and answer to an important question. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to continue with our questions and answers. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.